Is anybody else glad that God called Pastor Mark? Isn't that awesome? He's a good man to be under, and yeah, pray for them as they're away, that they get back safe, and pray for Evie and her family too. But isn't it awesome too that God has a plan for each and every one of our lives? I hope you believe that. And he, hopefully you understand too that God's way for our lives is the best way, and that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. So before I get started, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for how you call individuals out of the life that we think is good, and you call us into the life that you want us to have. Thank you for Pastor Mark and Evie and their family, and we pray for them as they're away now. But I thank you that you give us a reason to live a meaningful life. And I just pray that you would give us the courage to follow you where you lead. And now as we take a look at your word, which kind of talks about that today, I pray that you would help us to understand it, that your spirit would be among us, and I thank you that he is in many of us in this room. And I pray that he would help us to understand it and then apply your word to our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A question for you. Have you ever been lost before? So people might not understand that, but I'll tell you a time that I got lost, and times were different back then. But if you don't know this about my wife, Candy, and I, we dated long distance. So we went to two different colleges for a couple years, and then we started going when I went to seminary. We were at the same college and seminary together. But we were like 2 hours apart, and I got to see her one weekend, and I got to have a hot date. That was fun. So we went to like dinner and a movie, and it was getting late. And she was kind of at a strict college where, correct me if I'm wrong, Candy, but this is how strict it was. I think it was 11 o'clock was the curfew, and you got fined $5 for every minute you were late. So if you were in college and you know you're always flush with cash when you're in college, right? No, not the case, but that's how it was. And so I went to a college somewhere else in another state, and this was kind of in the middle of farm country. It was dark, and I didn't know my way around that much, so we were driving back after our movie and looking at the clock like, are we gonna make it? And then so I'm driving, and pretty soon I'm like, I have no idea where I'm at. And Candy's like, I have no idea where I'm at either. And I'm usually pretty good with directions, and I'm like, we turned so many times, I don't know which way is north, south, east, west. So for those of you that are younger than myself, you might say, well, why didn't you just put it in your phone or plug it in your Jeep? Well, there were days past where people didn't even have cell phones. So I didn't have a cell phone, she didn't have a cell phone, my parents didn't have it. So it was way back then, and it was even before you put those little, remember the big GPS things that you put on your dashboard? Didn't even have that. So it was like, I could have a map, but I don't know which way's north. So I could be going totally the wrong direction and getting even more lost. So thankfully, I thank the Lord to this day that it was a clear night, because I was able to stop the car. I knew we were south of where we needed to be. But that doesn't really matter that much if you don't know which way south is, right? Because so I was able to stop the car. Candy's like, what in the world are you doing? I was like, we gotta find this, because it's gonna be expensive. So does anybody know how to do that? You look up. This is back in the olden times, right? You gotta look up, find the Big Dipper, find the cup end of the Big Dipper, and those two stars point up to the North Star. And that's always at the north. And then I figured out, okay, now I know that that way's north, I need to go that way. Started driving that way, finally got there, and we found a road that was familiar and made it back just in the nick of time. Isn't that amazing? So, but we were just kind of freaking out, like, I'm lost. And I think sometimes Is life ever like that? You ever think like that? It's like you're living life and all of a sudden you're like, there's not something right. There's something that's not going on here. I just can't put my finger on it, but I'm not going the right way. And then you start to look around and say, what is the right way? And you don't have a map. You don't even know which way is the right way. And you're kind of going around. Has that ever happened to you in your life where it's just like something is not right? Something's not right here. So what do we do in that point? Where do we go? How do we turn? What is our North Star that we orient the direction of our life that we can get back on the right path? And I love this time of year. It's the holiday time. So one of the reasons that I love it is because there's so many movies out there. Do you ever notice that there's like a theme of a lot of movies about people that just, usually it's unintentionally, they lose their way. And like their life is kind of the opposite of what they thought it should be and whatever. And it's like, it's a story about this guy's lost his way, we need to turn him around. One of my favorites, and it's been done again and again and again, is A Christmas Carol. You ever familiar with Dickens' A Christmas Carol? So there's lots of them, whether it be Scrooge McDuck in Mickey's Christmas Carol or Michael Caine in The Muppets' Christmas Carol is one of my favorites too. But the one I like to watch every single year is George C. Scott, when he is Scrooge. But it's just kind of like, it's not like Scrooge is this horrible bad guy, because you look at his past and see he wasn't always there, but you kind of get plopped down in the middle of his life and like, this guy is not happy and he's just spewing venom on people all around him and just hurting people and leaving a wake. How did he get there? And then he gets four ghosts to come and visit him. So I asked Candy, is that a true story? But no, I know it's not. So he gets four ghosts to kind of point him in the right direction. And I just want you to take a step back from your life, and we're going to do some heavy evaluation today, okay? Take a step back and say, am I lost? Am I going the right direction? Is my life headed where it needs to be? And if you're like Scrooge and you find yourself just miserable and unhappy, is that where you're at? Or if you're like me, driving through Indiana, the farm fields of Indiana in the dark, and not knowing which way to go, and freaking out. You ever have that? You're freaking out about it? Like, my life's not right. I just don't know what to do. And you kind of freak out about it. I freak out sometimes, so that's what happens. What I wanted to bring you to today was a psalm. And it's actually the first psalm in the book of Psalms. So if you'd like to turn with me there, it's really short, sweet, and to the point. But I love the psalms because you might not know this by looking at me, but I do like poetry, and I think a lot of you out there like poetry and don't even really realize it. But this is really, the book of Psalms is really good poetry. And where do we hear poetry? Every single day. Turn on the radio, hear songs. That's poetry. There's pop music that's poetry. I wouldn't say it's good pop music, but that's not my thing. But you turn on the rap station, you turn on anything with lyrics, we're with poetry. And what I like about poetry is it kind of digs deeper down and connects with your emotions and it connects with your heart. And you ever have that where it's just, and I know Pastor Joe sings his Motown all the time, but it's like a lot of that is that it just rings true and it kind of helps you get into a deeper level with your heart. That's kind of how the Psalms are. And by the way, did you know that they are songs? That the whole book of Psalms is, that's basically a songbook that they used to sing 3,000 or so years ago. So take a look at it, it's pretty cool. But what this psalm talks about is when you get lost, when you can't find your way, And that what I love about this psalm is I really, truly believe it gives the answer, where is my North Star to get my direction? How do I find my way? And it gives it in very good terms. What I want to do with this psalm today is we're going to take a look at it, and it's divided up into sections, and I'm not going to go straight down linearly, if that makes sense, but we're going to kind of look at it as a poem together. And what this does is, you know, like a lot of poems or songs or whatever it is it paints a picture, okay? It paints a picture of what life is like. And this is what I wanted to talk about with you today is, and myself, this is how we can evaluate ourselves. It paints a picture of two different ways of life. And what I want to get across with you today is, where are you at right now? Which one of these describes you? Okay? And then, if you want to be a certain way, which I'm going to talk about, is this is how you get there. So I want to do that today. I want to show two different ways of life from Psalm chapter 1. I want to see where you're at. How do you get to where you need to be? All right? So, and then there's two ways of life in this passage, and I'm going to get to that first, okay? And these words have so much meaning and so much extra meaning attached to them. I want to try to explain that for you, okay? So it's the way of the wicked, and then anybody know the other way? The way of the righteous. So the way of the wicked and the way of the righteous, what in the world does that mean? And I think it basically boils down to this. That is that we are all created by God, our Creator, okay? He's created us for a reason. He knows why we're there. We saw Pastor Mark. Why did Pastor Mark get created? He created Pastor Mark for a reason. He created all of us. But he's also good, all right? So this is what I want you to understand. God designed us. God made us. He has a plan. He has a way in mind for us to live life, okay? So when you think of righteous, think of this is God's way that he has designed us to live our lives. So sometimes we think, I'm so righteous and I can brag about myself and everybody look at me and be impressed. And that's not really what it's talking about. If you want to think about righteous, it's living your life the way that God has designed it to be. Okay? Living your life God's way. And then you think of wicked, and that has so many terms to it. Are you a wicked person? Basically what that means is the polar opposite of righteous. You are not living your way the life that God desires. Okay, does that make sense? So you can either be living your way life the way that God has designed you to and the way that he wants you to, or you can be wicked and not be. And the problem with being wicked is usually if you're not living your life God's way, is it's kind of like I'm living my life my way, and it may seem good at first, but the results of it are spelled out beautifully in this psalm. So you guys want to dig into it with me? Let's take a look at Psalm chapter 1 together. And first of all, the very first word has tons of meaning right there. Blessed is the man, or blessed is the one, I think is how it is in your bulletin. So what does that mean, blessed? What that means is, and this is just a painting a picture of what your life is like. Blessed means that you are truly happy, okay? And what does that mean? What does happy mean? And I'm not talking about the Pharrell song that came out, and I'm so happy. You guys know? All right, I'm sorry. So I won't, it's not just that superficial, I'm happy, I got a smile on my face. It's that idea of being truly happy. Another word for that is content, satisfied, fulfilled. You look at your life and say, if I have nothing else, it's good because I am completely and truly happy. If this is all that I got, it's all good. And you know what? there's a lot of times where I don't feel that way. And I think right there it is, blessed, truly happy, truly fulfilled, truly content. That if there's anything that marks our world and the lives of our world was we go and there's like, what else can make me happy? What's the next thing? And like once you get it, it just kind of, you're not there anymore. So let's dig a little bit deeper. What does that picture look like? And I'm going to skip forward because verse 1 and 2 kind of talk about how do you get to where you need to go. So let's take a look at verses 3 to 6 first. So I'm sorry, I'm going backwards. But this is kind of poetic way of saying this is what it's like to be blessed. And this is what, or truly happy, or this is what it's like not to be truly happy. And then what I want you to do as we're taking a look at this is say, take a look at your life and see which one describes me better, all right? So blessed is the man, he is like, verse 3, he or she, he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose life does not wither. Whatever he or she does prospers. All right, so what does that really mean? So some of you know that I work in Phoenix, and actually work in Cleveland, but my office is in Phoenix. So a few times a year, I get to fly out to Phoenix. And I always pick anybody when they fly, does anybody like to pick the window seat? I like to pick the window seat. So it's kind of fun. But it's amazing. If you see the city of Phoenix and the area around there, you take a look out and it's just desolate. There's nothing as far as vegetation there. And all of a sudden you start seeing fields and you start seeing trees. And it's like, wait, isn't this in the middle of the desert? And then I see this little ribbon, this little blue line. You know what that is? It's water. It's like a river or a creek or something. They even make canals and get water. And all around that, people are getting the water and farming in the middle of Phoenix. Isn't that crazy? Well, that's what that is talking about. A person that is following God's way, you're like a tree planted by streams of water. So it's, we all have needs, right? And we can list and talk about what the things that we are that needs. But someone that following what God wants us to have feels like they have their needs being met at all times. So like if there's a drought, that's okay. I got water from the river because, you know, a tree needs its water. If I need this, it's okay. If the storms come, it's okay. I'm not going to get knocked down because my roots go deep. Really down, and it's like, that's what it is. I've got what I need. See that? It's that contentedness. It's that truly happy. I'm okay. Everything's going to be okay, and I feel like it. But then it also goes on, which yields its fruit in season. And if you look at the orchards in Phoenix, Arizona, in the 102 degrees, that's what it is. It's thereby streams of water. And trees that should not be growing things start to have fruit on them. It's the same thing. And it goes on and says, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever he does prospers. So it's like you're stable, you're planted, you're rooted, you're grounded, you have what you need, but you're also producing. Like your things are happening in your life. What does that mean? Whatever he does prospers. What that means is it's just another word for successful. It's not like the prosperity gospel, like if you give me such and such a money, you're going to have this, this, and that. That's not what it's talking about. It's just being a success. You're successful. And now let's take a step back. What does that mean, successful? Successful in God's eyes. When you're successful in God's eyes, you're going to affect other people. You're going to make a difference around you. That's what it's like. So that's the picture that it paints there. So are you truly happy? Are you content? Do you have what you need? Are you grounded? When the storms come, you are firmly rooted. Do you have what you need? Are you producing things that are successful? Can you look around and say, yeah, things are going okay right now? A lot of times in my life, I can say, that cannot, that's, That's not the case. You ever take that step and say, I wish I was there? And let's take a look at the righteous and the wicked, right? So that's the way, the righteous or following God's way. And the wicked, or when you don't follow God's way, take a look at this. And this hits home sometimes. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. All right, let's take this picture. I'm not a farmer. I'm not going to pretend to be a farmer. But from what I've heard about wheat is you get wheat and then it has the husk or whatever on it. And people, like back in the old times, they used to beat it and the husk came off and then the wind kind of blew it away. And what was left was the good wheat that you make gluten-full bread. Anybody? I don't know. I'm on the whole gluten-free thing. But so you have wheat, but then the chaff kind of blows away and it's gone. How many times does life kind of feel like that? It's like you're following a way of life and maybe you actually get what you want and you succeed in what you have, but then you feel like you're reaching into it and it's like, I don't really have anything here. I spent all this time and energy and effort into getting this goal, and like, I don't feel like there's anything worthwhile that I have to show with it. Do you see the difference there? Instead of being planted and producing and successful, you think you're successful, you put your ladder up against a tree, and it just kind of like slips away, and it's like, what do I really have to show for it? And then it goes on to say the problem with that way of life in verses 5 and 6. Well, the problem and the good part, too, is they're going to combine that. Verse 5, the psalmist says, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of righteous. So this is the problem, and this is where it's hard to talk about these things. But as you're living the way that God wants you to live, you're rooted and you're standing and nothing's going to shake you. But if you're not, that's what it says here, you're not going to be able to stand in the judgment. You'll go in front, and this is not a fun thing to say before, you're going to go in front of the one who made you and created you to be a specific thing, and you'll have to give an account. Why are you there? And you can't stand because you got nothing to show for your life. I don't know about you, but that is a scary thing for me. And then, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. And then verse 6, but this is what is so amazing to me, the opposite, righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Kind of what we're talking about. You kind of slip through your fingers. You won't have anything to show for it, and it's gone. So I think that is, you heard Pastor Mark talking about this, I felt something pulling at my heart. I don't know what it is, and it's kind of like us. You get a nudge like something is not right here. I feel like something's missing. I feel like everything I do is for nothing. What do I do? And that's what it says. But the answer, thankfully, is in verses 1 through 2. So this is what I wanted you to do. Take a look at yourself. Which of those two paintings of life describes you? And where do you want to go? Where do you want to be? And that's a legitimate question, because I think we can say, do I want to follow God's way? Or do I continually want to do things my own way? And that's a legitimate question. And that's where faith comes in, by saying, I'm going to give up some control here and say, God, you control my life. And that's a scary thing, because then I may not get to do what I want to do. And that's where faith comes in. Faith is saying, the creator of the universe, the king of the universe, knows how I should live my life much better than I do. That is a faith statement. That means I believe that I have deficiencies, and that the king of the universe knows the way that I should go. All right, so here's how we do it. And the first thing is kind of like a progression, okay? So blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. So you see, it's like a little bit of a progression here. So you're walking in the way of the wicked, and then you stand in the, I'll make sure I get this right, in the way of sinners. And then it's sit down in the seat of mockers. And this is the way that I see that, is there's God's way to live, and there's not God's way to live. That's what I believe the Bible says. But there's also all different, we're getting bombarded all the time with saying, people turn on the TV, turn on the radio, talk to our friends, talk to family members, whoever it is. This is the way that you should live your life. When we're seeing all of these different ways, here's how you should live, here's how you should live, and you get bombarded, and you know what? You don't even realize you're getting bombarded. And sometimes some of those messages, or maybe even oftentimes, those messages are taking you walking the way the, no, do this, and you're kind of walking in a different way from where the Lord wants you to be. And you know what's about this is, that's walking in the counsel of the wicked. So a counselor is someone that gives you advice for life. But you know what I find for myself personally? Is I don't even know I'm doing it. Is that all of a sudden I'm doing something that is not what Jesus wants me to do, and I don't even realize it. It's just so automatic. And then you get into habits, and then you start making changes in your life, and all of a sudden you're not living the way that God wants you to live at all. And then pretty soon, maybe you find out, yeah, this isn't right. And then you get the next step, all right? So what that says, and who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners, okay? So this is the way that I want to talk about this, is there's lots of different words for sin in the Old Testament. This one for sin means missing the mark. So it means the exact same thing as if I had a bow and arrow with me right now and there was a target back there and I shot it, and since I am such an outdoorsman, it would probably land over there, okay? So even though it was, so that is, this word for sin means missing the mark, okay? Missing, and hey, that's a good word, mark, right? But anyway, sorry. Missing the mark. You try to do something the right way, and you're really trying, and you miss it up. You miss. I do this all the time. Anybody else with me? You try to do the right thing, you live, and you just miss the mark. You miss the target. What's the problem here with walking in the counsel of the wicked or standing in the way of sinners? This is the way that I would say the progression gets down, is you see it, you know you're doing it wrong, and you're just going to stand there. Like, moving in it from as like, okay, I need to do something different. I need to try not to, but people that stand in the way of sinners are kind of like saying, I've tried hard enough. I give up. I can't bust. I can't do what's right. Or even worse is you make that choice and say, I know that that way's right, but you know what? I don't care. I don't care at all. I'm just going to keep missing the mark, and I could care less. And I'm going to go back to the story of Scrooge again. Anybody? And it's that same thing. If you go back with the Christmas past and everything, the ghost of Christmas past, you see, like, he's a loving guy. He gets engaged. He has friends. And all of a sudden, he starts thinking about, I need to make money. I need to make money. I need to make money. And if you know that, if you're familiar with that story, he's been engaged in a while and hasn't got married. And his fiance comes up to him and says, you know, like, something has taken my place. There's something more important to me, and that's money. And she kind of gives him an ultimatum and says, you know what? It's either me or the way that you're living your life. And what does Scrooge say at that point in his life? Okay, see you later, right? And so he knew he was going in the right way. He was shown that by somebody. He was going the wrong way, and then he decided, I don't care. I'm going to keep going this way. And then he lost somebody that he loved dearly, and you can see later in his life he regrets it deeply. But sometimes that's what it is. Is that where you are? I think all of us at some point in time can walk in the counsel of the wicked, and we can find ourselves doing, and sometimes unconsciously. Then sometimes we may get corrected. Are you there right now and say, it's either too hard and I give up, or I just don't care, I'm going to do what's wrong? Well, you can see what the results are like. And usually when you see people like that, or when I'm like that, I'm absolutely miserable. But then there's another step, or sit in the seat of mockers, all right? And I heard somebody say it. What does Scrooge say in his mocking way? Merry Christmas? Bah, humbug. If that isn't mocking, I don't ever heard anything that was. So that's the next step. As you know you're not doing what's right, you don't care, and then you mock everybody else that's trying to do the right thing. And all of a sudden, not only you're not bearing fruit, but you're pulling other people down with you. So do you see the progression there? We can get influenced by everything around us and not know it, and then we can kind of see that and just make a stand and say, I don't care, or I give up. And then you can, after you've done that for a while, you can start saying, make fun of and mock other people that are trying to live their lives God's way. So my question is, how do we avoid that? How do we avoid that? Kind of, you can see how you can get sucked right up in there, and there's choices on our part too, but how do you avoid that? If you're lost and can't find your way, how are you going to find the North Star? And this is kind of the meat of this passage, is verse 2. And this is what I want to stick on for a little bit here. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So two different things are being talked about here. Delighting in the law of the Lord, meditating on the law of the Lord. This is how we do it. This is how we follow the way that God wants us to live our lives. So what is it talking about, the law of the Lord? And I just want to get in this very quickly. Anybody know the first five books of the Bible? Why does it not say the Word of God or the Bible? Because this is 3,000 years old, and Genesis through Deuteronomy was all that was written at that point. And when Jesus came along, what did he say? Look at Moses and the prophets, or the law and the prophets. Well, after this, the prophets have been written, but the New Testament hadn't been written. So for us sitting in 2019, we can very safely read this into it, but his delight is in the whole entire Word of God. Okay? So is it, you see where I can make that jump there? And on this Word, he meditates on it day and night. And this is really important. This is what we do. There's two things. You delight in the Word of God, and you meditate on it. So the first thing is, this is where I want you to take some evaluation of your life, and this is where I find myself falling short sometimes. Do you delight in the law of the Lord, or in the Word of God? What does that mean, to be delighted by something? Is it a treasure to you? Is it a jewel that you're going to seek after? Do you get excited about it? So if it's kind of like sometimes yesterday, you get excited, like, I can't wait for the Ohio State Penn State game, or Michigan Indiana game for Pastor Joe's, or next week Michigan Ohio State, right? I wonder who's going to win that game. But like, your thoughts get consumed by it. You're thinking about what happens if this guy's hurt or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Anything you're anticipating, it consumes your mind. Is that the place that God's Word has in your life? You know what I can tell you? Sometimes, there's a lot of times actually, it doesn't hold that place in my mind. So how do we get that change? Well, what I often say is, we can't change our own hearts. If I don't like something, or if I'm not all in on something, or if I'm not delighting in God's Word, I can't just say, okay, I'm going to delight in God's Word. It means that my heart is wrong. And who can change your heart? Only God can change your heart, right? So this is a prayer I often pray, is I pray, Lord, I just don't really care about your Word. Change my heart. It's sinful. It's wicked. It's going against. Please change my heart. And you know what? God loves you enough that he's going to change your heart. So if you're in a place where you're just kind of apathetic, you don't really care about being in God's Word, I would encourage you to do that. Ask God to help you. And then the next thing to do is to meditate on His law day and night. Now, what does that mean to meditate? Anybody want a gross picture? I want to give a gross picture. So, okay. When we used to live in Philly, Candy and I took some kids to camp in Lancaster County, and these were city kids. And you know what they said when we went by a farm field? Ew, that cow's eating grass. So, yeah. It's like, yeah, well, cows eat grass. And they didn't know that. So, okay. But what's even more fun about that is cows have four stomachs. So, you guys ready? So, to prepare you for lunch, what they do is they eat grass or whatever, and then they throw up what they're doing, and they're chewing. So, you've been around a cow, and it's like, okay. So, that's kind of how I think of when I think of meditating on God's Word. Okay? So now you got that nasty picture in your head. So you swallow, you're studying Scripture, and then you throw it up and you chew on it all day long. So you don't just, okay, now I got my Bible reading for the day, I'm just going to throw it away, but you chew on it all day. God, what does it mean? How is this talking about me? And just kind of have that conversation all as you go through life. And I love what Pastor Joe brought up a few weeks ago where he talked about there's people that study God's Word and study it and know it inside and out, but like they're not following God's way. The problem is, Jesus talked about this with men that knew the Bibles, their Old Testament, like inside and out, the Pharisees. And you know what he said to them is, you diligently study the Scriptures, and this is in John 5, and Pastor Joe used this too, so, because you think that by them you possess eternal life. But he says, these are Scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. It's the same thing true. So if you just say, all right, I'm just going to dig in and study in with God's Word and just learn as much as I can, I want to tell you that this is a book about a person. Okay, this is about Jesus Christ. So it's not like you're learning facts and memorizing stuff, which is really good to learn facts and memorize stuff. But remember, this is about a person, and you're walking with a person and being connected with that person means getting to know what he's like. And that's what all of these pages talk about. And getting to know what somebody likes, what somebody's like means, what do you like? What do you want from me? What do you know? So you know, when you're dating or married or whatever it is, you get to know pretty quick what a person doesn't like or does like, right? So it's the same thing. You get to know what this person, how he wants you to be. And what Jesus kind of takes us up and says, being connected to the Word is like being connected to me. And that's in John chapter 15. He says, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Does that sound similar to anything you've heard recently? Right? So being that tree by the stream is just being connected to Jesus. How connected to you are to Jesus? And this is the truth about Jesus, and I encourage you to dig into this and make it a walk. It's a conversation with your friend. It's a conversation with your master, right? That's what it is, and you're going through it every day, and you're in it every day. And then you throw it up and you chew on it like the cow, right? Every day, Lord, what does this have to do with me? What does this teach me about yourself? And you know what happens? When you start being focused on that each and every day, you know what's going to happen? You're going to find yourself, even though there's all these other voices that are saying, go this way, go that way, you're going to find yourself walking in the way that you're supposed, that God wants you to. God says. You see how this is? We get lost. God's Word helps us find our way. But God's word when you're in step with Jesus and in a relationship with Jesus. That's how you do it. And there's some other things that Psalm 1 didn't have at the time. In John 16, Jesus says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come." So God came and lives and comes and lives inside of each and every one of us. And he helps us understand. He guides us into truth. It's a conversation with the Spirit of God inside of you, helping you understand which way to live, which way to go. And this is a prayer that I often pray for myself too. And I know I'm getting over a little bit, sorry. But Psalm 139 says this, David says this, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me. It lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me in your way that's going to last forever. So that's my encouragement to you today. I don't know where you're at. Which one of those paintings describes you best? But you know what? I know how you can get to where God wants us to be. And if you want to find out the way that God wants you to live, I would encourage you to dig into this word. Know what it says, know what it's about, meditate on it, live your life by it. And the more you're, and I just call it saturated by God's word, led by God's word through the person of the Holy Spirit, you're going to find your life like that first painting that we talked about. So as I leave you today, and sorry I went a little over, I get excited. My question is, and this is that faith question, are you willing to live your life God's way? And you may say, no, I'm not right now. Well, just be honest. It is the best way to live your life. The other way is just fruitless, and as Solomon called it, it's like chasing after the wind. But ask God to help you. Help change my heart. Help me be in love with your word. And I want to ask you, what steps will you take to delight in and meditate on God's word? Because God's way is the best way. We get knocked off the path. Will you let God's word and your fellow believers help you back on the path? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you did reveal yourself to us and you showed us how to live. And Father, there's so many competing voices that want to pull us in different directions. And Father, I'm so weak that I want to go those directions. Help me to be grounded completely in your word and help all of us to live the life that you want us to live. And Father, it really is the best way to live. And I pray that you would even prick people's hearts here today that just feel an emptiness, that feel a tug, that feel a pull, and that you would draw them back to yourself today and let them enjoy you fully. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. As Pastor Mark was